This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Monday, January 26th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Partial government shutdown looms. Trump threatens Canada with tariffs over China deals. And governors urge immigration cooperation. Shutdown odds soar. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer says his party will not vote to fund the government if the Department of Homeland Security funding is included in a spending bill. Schumer was reacting to the fatal shooting Saturday of the Minnesota resident Alex Predet by federal immigration officers. The government will go into partial shutdown if Congress does not pass federal funding legislation before this coming Saturday. In the meantime, some Republicans want Senate Majority Leader John Thune to suspend the filibuster and procedural rule that requires a 60-vote supermajority to end debate on legislation and force a full vote. Lawmakers against that change say such a move could hurt them when or if Democrats regain Senate control. Now take note, the shutdown would have far less impact than the previous shutdown this past fall. That's because the Agriculture Department funding was signed into law in November, and funding bills from some other agencies, including the Interior, Commerce, and Justice Departments and the Environmental Protection Agency, were signed on Friday. Ag giants, governors urge cooperation between states and feds. Several agribusiness and food giants, including Cargill, CHS, General Mills, Hormel, and Land O'Lakes, signed a Minnesota Chamber of Commerce statement calling on federal, state, and local officials to de-escalate tensions in the state. Meanwhile, the National Governors Association issued a statement calling for cooperation between the federal government and states on immigration enforcement. Clarity of purpose is essential to maintaining public trust, ensuring accountability, and avoiding unintended escalation, Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt and Maryland Governor Wes Moore said in a statement. The use of federal authority should be guided by a transparent strategy that complements rather than supplants state and local efforts to uphold the law. Stitt, a Republican, is chair of the National Governors Association. Democrat Moore is vice chair. E15 fallout. It's not clear how a possible government shutdown could affect farm state lawmakers' efforts to include pro-ethanol legislation in a funding vehicle. A bill that would have allowed year-round U.S. sales of higher ethanol motor fuel blends, known as E15, didn't make it to a House-passed spending package. This after small oil refiners balked at a provision to limit exemptions from national biofuel blending rules given to certain refiners. The issue of small refinery exemptions, or SREs, is splitting big and small oil refiners. The American Petroleum Institute wants Congress to revive the E15 bill. The Power for Oil and Gas lobby supports revamping the exemption process, saying the current system lacks clarity and causes market disruptions. On the other side, the group of union workers and independent refiners praising Republican leaders in Congress for not, quote, forcing a sweeping policy change by advancing the E15 measure. The Fueling American Jobs Coalition says the biofuel bill would raise production costs while eliminating one of the only mechanisms of meaningful cost relief, SREs. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Trump assails Canada over China deal-making and threatens more tariffs. President Donald Trump is threatening Canada with more tariffs after recent talks between Canada and China on a trade deal. If Governor Carney thinks he's going to make Canada a drop-off port for China to send goods and products into the United States, he's sorely mistaken, Trump wrote on social media. Trump often calls Canadian leaders governor, also using the nickname or Prime Minister Mark Carney's predecessor, Justin Trudeau. If Canada makes a deal with China, it will immediately be hit with a 100% tariff against all Canadian goods and products coming into the USA, Trump added. Take note, Carney made efforts to reset relations with Beijing while visiting China earlier this month. He walked away with a deal to lower tariffs on some Chinese electric vehicles in exchange for increased market access for Canadian ag products. Carney told reporters earlier this month the Canada-China relationship is currently, quote, more predictable than its relations with the U.S. You see results coming from that, he said. Carney on Saturday said that Canada has no intention of pursuing a free trade agreement with Beijing and stressed that the recent deal only cuts tariffs on specific sectors. House committee advances bill to delist Mexican gray wolves. A bill to delist the Mexican gray wolf under the Endangered Species Act is headed to the House floor after being passed the House Natural Resources Committee. Mexican gray wolves roam parts of southwestern U.S. and Mexico. According to the bill text, the Fish and Wildlife Service documented at least 286 of these wolves in the wild and 350 in captivity. Public Lands Council President Tim Canterbury applauded the action in a press release saying, quote, "This bill is a step toward alleviating the challenges southwestern producers face and would recognize the realities on the ground." But Craig Miller, the Southwest representative for Defenders of Wildlife, says if the bill passes, Mexican gray wolf numbers will shrink dramatically, and it's not a matter of if, but how soon after. Canada approves sale of gene-edited pigs. The Canadian government has approved the sale of gene-edited pigs developed to resist porcine reproductive respiratory syndrome, or PRRS. That's a disease that causes reproductive failure, pneumonia, and susceptibility to bacterial infection. PRRS-resistant pigs developed by PIC, a swine genetics company, may now be manufactured or imported to Canada after receiving approval from the Canadian Food Inspection Authority. The same gene edit was approved in the U.S. last April. Today marks a major milestone for consumers, farmers, and the entire pork industry who have hoped for relief from PRRS for decades, PIC Chief Operating Officer Matt Culberson said in a release. Here's today's final word. States and the federal government should work together to ensure laws are enforced, communities are protected, and constitutional norms are preserved. We believe there are criminals in our country who must be held accountable, but moments like this demand thoughtful leadership, coordination, and clarity. Scenes of violence and chaos on our streets are unacceptable and do not reflect who we are. That Republican Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt and Democratic Maryland Governor Wes Moore in a statement from the National Governors Association. Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, January 26th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Alley.